Thanks for joining us. And this is the Valley Outdoors. Good to have you guys hanging out. Got a great show. Lots to talk about today. We've got a gentleman, a good friend of mine from the West Coast area, Tom Nelson from ESPN show. It's called The Outdoor Line. We're going to talk a little bit about fisheries management going on out there, some struggles, also some grizzly stories that, not bad stories, just stories about grizzly, Don.
Nerve.
Yeah, exactly. And some things that are going on with the current administration, forcing some reintroductions that are rather odd. If you ask me, this show is not odd, so stick around, hang out. We're going to have a good time. See you shortly. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference. Well, Donald, good to see you. Ava,
I'm here.
I'm here.
We made it work.
We did. Super excited.
She was yawning.
I know.
Well,
I'm excited. I'm a great friend of the show, a great friend of mine, coming on today, Tom Nelson from ESPN Outdoors. He's been on shows like Jesse Waters for an extended period of time. His co-captain, Joey Pyburn, has also been on the show. A lot of conversation about all the outdoor stuff going out there. Controversial things, administration imparting different reintroductions and that whole thing. And he's just coming off doing some testimony with government at various levels, very high levels, and really questioning what's going on. And it seems to me like there's some deck stacking that's trying to be happening out there. And I think we need to be alert to it. We need to be aware of what's going on, because it will, the same thing, if it's effective and it works, it will happen here, because they will think don't of it. So do not miss the second half of this show, you guys. It's going to be good. I'm excited. Last Saturday, Tom and I went off, and literally it was an hour and a half conversation, and he's just a fun guy. So really, not a mushroom.
Should have recorded it.
No.
Oh, okay.
It was not usable.
Okay. I get it.
He was a little fired up. Let's put it that way.
I get it.
So, speaking of fired up, Don, I just saw that this week. We've talked about the high school league, the Clay Target. You know, it's one of the biggest participation sports in the country. The state of Minnesota leads the way. Right next to fishing is the next one. And as far as up-and-coming sports, we talked about the current administration virtually eliminated archery. They eliminated hunter education, and that would have also cut the funding for this particular scenario. Well, if they can't get and try to eliminate it one way, they're going to try to do it another way. And Patty Acomb from Minnetonka, she's a representative, and she is the chief author of a bill which is going to prohibit lead ammunition and tackle and require non-toxic ammunition and tackle. Minnesota State High School Target League, John Nelson, we know John very well, expressed a concern for the bill. They just released it a couple days ago. They said they're very uneasy about this. It would prohibit it. Lead ammunition and require non-toxic ammo for school shooting sports. In fact, she specifically stated there would not be any lead ammunition and require non-toxic shot for shooting sports at practices, competition, training, and all other events. And you know what that is, Don. You try to go tin or steel, and the cost is...
Or bismuth.
The cost is quadruple, if not...
Oh, it's triple. Anyway, I mean, it would be cost prohibitive.
Well, and you can't buy a Target load with that I know of, or if it is, it's very scarce in a steel or otherwise. It's just not, you know, obviously you can, but well, the cost
you'd have
for
to
that
go to
Target
steel,
load.
But it's, I mean, typically you don't, I mean, you don't shoot steel other than when you're on public
federal
grounds.
Lands, yeah.
And it doesn't make sense to me because most of the, I'm not sure what their thought process is here, because when you're shooting at a range, you know, a trap club, they do lead recovery.
Yeah.
At those locations. And
yeah.
It's about every 4 to 5 years they go in with machinery and they recover all the lead that's shot out there. So it's not contaminating the soil or anything else once they clean it out. So I'm not sure what their thought process is here. And it would be for the kids. And this isn't just, I mean, if this would spread out of Minnesota to other states, it would be a big decline in the people involved with shooting. It would be for anybody.
Again, Don, like I say, if they
are
don't
they talking
get it
about making this statewide or just for the high school?
Statewide.
So nobody in the state could use lead for trap shooting.
But she specifically mentions this side of it, and authored by Jennifer McClellan from Duluth, that would prohibit the use of it in league practices, competition, and training. So they even refined it further and specifically pointing at those competitions and saying, you can't use it. I mean, if they can't eliminate it by saying, let's cut the funding.
Yeah, well.
Which, I don't know. It's frustrating in the fact that you don't have an understanding of what's going on and nobody has a voice to it, and it's eye-opening. I will say that.
Yeah, well, our current legislature has passed a lot of bills that they are trying to figure out what was in them.
They jammed them through. You were aware of that.
Yeah.
Nothing you could do. You're watching it happen. It's horrible. So another thing coming up out of Wisconsin, we'll hit on this relatively quickly. We're going to take a break in just a minute or so. They're just looking at forming a board for wakeboard regulation, protect lakes and lake users from damage. This has been a big controversy, Don. I think you probably all have seen wakeboards. They travel, wakeboard boats, they travel at a very high angle, and they have been restricted to 300 feet from the shoreline, so you diminish the damage that's made to shore. We have to be careful here, too, because that's a slippery slope. The reason is that all the EPA requirements came out for outboard motors was because somebody didn't like the sound of a jet ski running around the lake. They didn't like it. So they said, well, I'm going to have my lake association try and ban that. Guess what? It turned into not the sound, but the emissions. Then they changed the emission laws, and the whole state of California went that way, and the rest of the country went CARB ratings for outboards. So I will say, kind of a slippery slope. Got to be careful how this is going to be regulated and how you look at that regulation. If it's 300 feet from shore is not enough, then what is enough? And what are you going to require, and what are you going to restrict? Hang tight, guys. I'm telling you what, we are going to have a great interview coming right up with Tom Nelson. It's going to be fantastic. You are not going to want to miss this. Stay tuned. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. Obviously, you guys are still hanging around, and we like to have you hang around even more with our sites that we've got involved. Don, we got Facebook. Where are you at? Facebook, The Valley Outdoors, right?
The Valley Outdoors. It's
and
not that hard.
Ava
and
is where? Where else?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Yeah.
It's great when I do the misdirection. I'm looking at Don, and I'm trying to see if I can throw Ava off. He's like, he's
never,
not looking at me.
You never get me. You never do.
Well, one guy you can never catch up on, a guy's too quick. He plays on his feet all the time and always lands on his feet. Good friend of the show, good friend of mine for many, many years, Tom Nelson from ESPN, the Outdoor Line, out in the West Coast area. And, I mean, this guy is a virtual, I don't know, cavalcade of information, I guess is the best way to put it. Good to have you in line, Tom. How are you doing today?
Dude, it's so good to hear from you, man. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. You know, So, Don, give you some background. The other day I was talking to Tom, and when you catch Tom when he's fired up, flow of unconsciousness rivals Robin Williams. I will say that hands down.
We got a taste of that just a little bit ago.
Yeah, he is literally on fire. And, you know, the reason I wanted Tom on is several reasons. One was that many times what happens on the coasts, meaning legislational things, that kind of thing, it'll migrate in. It's like fashion. If something hits it on the West Coast or the East Coast, it doesn't hit the Midwest till, you know, given me 6-8 months, maybe a year, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think the same thing is going to be happening. And after Tom and I talked, I got fired up. I didn't know what to do to get rid of the energy that you got me lit up with, Tom. But Tom just did some what did you call it, Tom? What were you doing?
I would call it aggressive testimony angled at protecting our traditional outdoor pursuits, which is not high on the feckless lame duck Governor Jay Inslee we have here in the state of Washington.
So you can tell he's on fire.
Long and short of it is, several years ago, I was part of a coalition that established an advisory body to the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, and this body is known as the Wildlife Commission. So we had a bunch of anglers, ranchers, biologists, in other words, real people, right, that were advising Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, hiring and firing the director, and also informing the department on matters of policy, right? Then this was under another governor. Then when our now governor is running for the position, one of the first things I got to ask him in interviewing Jay Inslee was at the time, well, listen, I'm concerned about how a new governor could possibly treat the commission, because it is possible to stack the commission with anti-hunters, anti-anglers, people that turn their back on science, and from my lips to Satan's ears, here we are now. We have preservationists, we have predator type people that want to enhance our predator populations at the expense of our ungulate, elk, and deer populations. We have commissioners that are turning their back on science with regard to vetted, established population goals for elk populations here, that just wave their hands and say, well, why don't we just lower the population goals? Wouldn't that accomplish the same thing? So we have a situation right now where public safety is taking a second seat. Has taken a backseat to predator preservationists. In fact, to the point where as soon as we got off air, Eric, Saturday afternoon, four ladies were attacked by a cougar in Fall City. This comes on the heels of Olympic National Park getting shut down last July when another cougar attacked a young child, so they had to shut down this entire national park, which is kind of hard on revenue and people's vacation plans. 2 years ago, we had a fatality when another cougar attacked and it fatally killed a biker in the same neck of the woods. All this, and of course now we're having bear attacks too, where because of our hunting has been decreased. We recently, the commission recently disallowed a spring bear hunt. And now, so the department, instead of the revenue generating hunting, has to spend money on Carilion bear dog handlers to handle all this. It's no way to run a railroad, Eric. But like, to your point earlier, this is what is going to happen. If this goes through in Washington, all of this predator emphasis, rather than adhering to the big game management, the North American model of big game management that's been a success story in this nation for 200 years. It ain't broke, don't fix it. They're trying to fix it, and then they're going to try to export this evil, I will call this woke ideology over biology. They're going to start exporting this back east.
Well, and it's actually happening right now, Tom. If you look, and again, I'm just going to leave this in more of a 30,000-foot view, but just now in Wisconsin, they are putting forward a proposal to not have antlerless deer hunting for 4 years. Now, they've also said that they probably have miscounted the wolf population by a significant amount, but then they also say, well, wolves really haven't caused that much issue. It's more habitat and some other things. And I say, be careful what we have, because science doesn't back that up. We had a couple people on that talked exactly about that, and it was the same concept. and it's exactly what's happening. Let's base it on science. Same thing happens in our lakes, a prime lake in the state of Minnesota, one of the biggest recreational bodies of water. It's not managed as a resource. It's managed as a political football. Same exact thing, and it's just creeping, creeping, creeping. And it's a really frustrating thing from that aspect. Now, you have had the fortune of spending some time. In fact, when we were out in the water, if anybody's familiar with Jesse Waters, he's on Fox TV, Fox News. You were actually on the phone with Jesse Waters while we were out doing some crabbing and filming some boat test videos. And what I found interesting when I started delving into it with your partner, Joey Pyburn, was that when I read the story, we talked about the reintroduction of grizzly out in your area. That is a major, major step in that same direction.
Boy, I tell you what, it's you. My heart goes out to and let me just back this up with, I've had lots of experience with bears. I got a degree in fisheries biology from the University of Washington. We did a lot of stream surveys in coastal Alaskan waters up in Alaska. These same species are called coastal brownies. They're a little bit mellower than grizzlies because of all the protein, all the sockeye eat. But in the North Cascades, these grizzlies have a bad attitude because they ain't as well fed. And so now you're going to have kids in rural bus stops. You're going to have more landowner interactions. You're going to have livestock interactions with this apex predator. Let's just go ahead and throw a great white shark into your freaking opening day, you know, trout lake. Go right ahead. What do you think is going to happen? And the U.S. Department of Interior's rationale for this is, well, the apex predators spread all kinds of wonderful seeds and everything all across the landscape. Really? You're taking and you're going to go all botanist on me and say we don't have enough seeds being spread in the North Cascades? And so you're bringing essentially a 1,000-pound bad attitude with fillet knives for claws that never ate, never met anything he didn't want to eat, you know? And so the thing of it is, all this comes against a backdrop of, you know, I mean, as a former Seattle firefighter, fireboat pilot, I was a public safety official for over a quarter century in the city of Seattle, okay? You can trust me with some public safety information. When I approached WDFW and asked,
prior
to this WDFW, grizzly reintroduction,
Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Right.
I asked the department for some of the interactions that we've seen since we have cut our bear seasons, cut our cougar seasons, disallowed baiting and hounding, and another of these, you know, other situations. They would not provide me with the public safety information. They FOIA'd me. They were required that I file a Freedom of Information Act request. Now, I don't know about you, but if you have ever tried to sort through the mass of nonsensical crap, and then they only give you a little bit of time to go through all this stuff, it's about a full-time job. So we're asking all the right questions. We've got a government right now in the state of Washington that lies, obfuscates, lies directly, and also lies through omission. So it's a mess out here. It's very, very concerning. Hopefully some of these interactions, some of the real public safety issues and some of the, you know, people that have been in the hospital because of these increased predator interactions, you know, maybe this is going to catch some people's attention and maybe we'll get somebody with a more level head in the governor's mansion.
Well, I think to kind of wrap up that part of the topic, the unfortunate part is that these areas have been built up, the towns have been built up on recreational usage, hiking, biking, cross-country skiing, whatever, downhill skiing, but primarily those more remote sports where you're biking through trails and whatever. And to introduce that type of apex predator to an area that's been built on tourism and the town has been built on it, what you will virtually do is create a one-way track for that town, and it's not a positive one. And that's the unfortunate part about it is when you – oh, well, they were there before. Well, guess what? Things change. It's like the cities with deer. And the joke is, well, you know, you need to change where the deer crossing signs are because where we're crossing these roads now, people are gonna, you know, hurt their cars. But that's the nonsensical level that we're in, Tom. You and I both know it. Don, you know, we all have talked about it. So the concept becomes, how do you overcome that level of misinformation that is pushed so that bills like these get pushed through? And I can't thank you enough for your vocal aspect on this so we can be aware. And again, I follow the state of Minnesota. You guys in the state, whether it's Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Michigan, you guys are all listening to this show. The whole Midwest, Iowa, everywhere, you guys take this seriously, because as soon as you think it's one small step for, oh, not a big deal, next thing you know, it's a bigger step and bigger step and bigger step.
I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, you mentioned Jesse Waters and Fox News. And, you know, I've been working with Jesse, you know, on this, you know, as an occasional guest on Fox News on his show for a couple of years now. And the reach of that national broadcast is amazing. But here's the thing. We have an outfit right now called Sportsman's Alliance. I mentioned Brian Lynn, who's the executive director of Sportsman's Alliance. They have a legislative watch that's watching all these things. And it's not just the predator enhancement, but it's also, you know, some just unrealistic firearms legislation that we're seeing right now, definitely infringing upon our Second Amendment rights. But, you know, we have to be very, very vigilant, Eric, because, you know, if we don't, our traditional outdoor pursuits are going to be lost to our kids. And that's really what this is all about, making sure that this outdoor legacy is passed on to our kids. Because, dude, I'm here to tell you, what they sell in the grocery stores these days, all this processed crap, is not food. If I couldn't fish, if I couldn't hunt, I would not know what to eat.
There is that. I got to love it. I mean, we just pulled a story out today that Don and I have, and all of us have been following, the State High School Clay Target League. And, of course, shooting sports in the high schools is the largest growing sport, right next to tournament fishing for kids, you know, bass fishing in the high schools. And right now they're just trying to introduce a bill which prohibits lead ammunition and tackle, and it would prohibit the use of any lead shot for any event conducted by the Minnesota State High School Clay Target League. Well, it immediately probably triples or quadruples the cost to go shoot, Don.
Right. And Minnesota being the largest participant in the country with 8,000 shooters this last
wow.
year. I just don't – that would have a devastating effect on the involvement there.
Exactly. And so, like I said, Tom, this is exactly the methodology that they're going to go – people are going to go that don't want to have them doing this. They tried to eliminate it by cutting the funding. The administration cut the funding on archery and gun education or
that was federal.
Firearms education. That was federal.
Yeah.
And they tried to eliminate it, and they chopped it. So – yeah, it's just frustrating, but again, thanks for holding the torch, and that's one of the big reasons I wanted you on. You know, your vision, your voice, and level of experience on that side of it is needless to say, pretty awesome. So let's move on to some positivity.
Let's talk about positivity, dude. I was so happy when, you know, I got involved with Cheryl Wheels, Cheryl Propeller, Cheryl Propulsion, and you. There's my buddy, right, Eric Olson. You know, working with Cheryl, and this has been just an amazing opportunity to introduce this propulsion technology to the Pacific Northwest. I mean,
the big thing for you, and we were up filming things. For me, I was going to talk fishing, but let's jump into it. But you know, No, you're good. I mean, the fun part for me is, you know, we go out there and go fishing with you, and you know, the level of fishing that you have. It's kind of like me for walleye, and it's you for the salmon and the crabbing aspect, and you know, being able to apply all that you have knowledge wise and have fun with that, it gives me an opportunity to go out there and visit and hang out. But pretty incredible, Tom.
And eat crab. Come on, be serious.
We wolf down a crab so much.
Fresh hot Dungeness crab. Admit it.
We're eating it. He leaves us back here.
We were eating on the dock. I felt like an absolute glutton because it kept coming out of the pot.
Yeah, we weren't going to say that.
It's just crazy. But the primary thing, I mean, obviously, I mean, I work with Cheryl, and they've been obviously tremendous and giving you a lot of things with the performance of your boat that, you know, obviously it's a big deal. And I love that fact. But one of the things I wanted to talk about was We've heard a lot about the salmon fishery out there and how that it's been an up and down battle. And they've had regulations like, oh, there's not going to be enough salmon. There's not going to be this, this, and this. What's your view going forward? How is that looking from your perspective?
So every year, you know, we get forecasts, right? And so those are just coming out. And so the salmon season setting process here in the Pacific Northwest is known as the North of Falcon process. And Cape Falcon roughly bisects the state of Oregon, right? So we're up here in Washington. So we're interested in that piece of the pie north that extends all the way into Canada and Alaska. And this great big bunch of Chinook and Coho and sockeyes and dog salmon that are all coming down the coast this year. We're not going to get any pinks because it's an even year. But so one of the restrictions that we have right now is our unclipped or wild Chinook. Okay.
Now
so
we got 1 minute. They got to sum it up. We got 1 minute. We're tight on time.
Minute. Okay. Here's the deal. Our hatcheries drive our fisheries, and so we are looking at a good upswing of hatchery fish this year. You got to come out here. This is going to be one of the best seasons that we've seen in the Pacific Northwest. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say not only are the numbers of Chinook going to be the best we've seen in a decade, but the individual size of fish. I truly think we're going to see more 30s, 40s, and 50-pounders up and down the coast. So you better come out here and eat some crab and catch some fish.
Tom, count on it. That was it. Nail in the coffin, I'm coming. I'll be out there, buddy. I will have you on again. Fight the good fight. Keep after it. Tom Nelson from the Outdoor Line out in Seattle, ESPN Outdoors, and we certainly appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Thank you, dude.
You bet. And we are the Valley Outdoors. Thanks for joining us, guys, and we will be back next week. See ya.